Next on Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
We've got a seeking soul, and we've got a gracious God. And the gracious God has said, if a soul seeks, they'll find. Now then, how does that seeking soul, more often than not, find a gracious God? And the answer is through a willing worker. And what does God do? Seeking soul sends message to gracious God. Gracious God looks around for willing worker. God organizes willing worker to get in touch with seeking soul, and bang, the work of God in salvation. Salvation belongs to who? Our God. It's his work, not yours.
Today on Telling the Truth, Stuart Briscoe concludes his message, How You Finish Matters, and shares how age doesn't have to keep you from living boldly for Christ. But first, aging isn't something to be shunned or simply endured. Yet so many people fear getting older. That's why we'd love to help you be full of joy and purpose in every season of life by sending you Stuart and Jill Briscoe's book, Improving with Age. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to keep this Telling the Truth broadcast on the air, helping you and others experience abundant life in Christ. So call today to request Improving with Age, 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388. Whether you're a senior, baby boomer, Gen Xer, or millennial, this resource will help you live your life well, full of joy and confidence that God has a plan for you no matter your age. Now, here's Stuart Briscoe with his message, How You Finish Matters.
You'll remember that Philip the evangelist was doing very well in Samaria. And God, by his Spirit, on one occasion, said, Philip, I want you to leave what you're doing. You're having a very, very effective period of ministry there amongst in Samaria. But I just want you to head south down towards the desert. Not very specific instructions. So he did. And it just so happened that he met a gentleman from Ethiopia coming along in his chariot. You remember the story? Philip got a ride with the Ethiopian in his chariot. He became the very first Christian hitchhiker. And and as they went along, you know the story, he led him into a commitment to Christ. Now, how did that work? Well, this is how it works. God says, if somebody seeks with all their heart, they'll find. Now, God promises that. So you've got down here a seeking soul, and you've got up here a gracious God. And this seeking soul starts seeking. Now, I personally believe that when the Bible says no one comes to the Father except the Father draws him, that we are to expect something called the prevenient grace of God at work. All right? How it works, I don't know. I want to ask him about that when we get there. But I know I'll have to stand in line. Now, here we go. We've got a seeking soul, and we've got a gracious God. And the gracious God has said, if a soul seeks, they'll find. Now then, how does that seeking soul, more often than not, find a gracious God? And the answer is through a willing worker. And what does God do? Seeking soul sends message to gracious God. Gracious God looks around for willing worker. God organizes willing worker to get in touch with seeking soul, and bang, the work of God in salvation. Salvation belongs to who? Our God. It's his work, not yours, not mine. The interesting thing about it, of course, is God invites you to be his agent. You say, wow, you're building a lock on one little story. I'm glad you brought that up. Here's another one. Simon Peter. Simon Peter is staying in the home of Simon a tanner. Why he was doing that, I don't know. Why Simon was a tanner when Jews weren't supposed to deal with dead animals, I don't know. What Peter was doing messing around with him, I don't know. That's his problem. I'm going to ask him about that, but I'll have to stand in line. God says to Simon Peter, time for your quiet time. Simon goes up on the roof, have his quiet time. You know what happened, don't you? He fell asleep. Simon Peter was a very gifted sleeper. You read about it. When he's in prison, he goes to sleep. You know, he's going to execute him next day. Oh, I need my rest. You see, going for my quiet time, oh, he falls asleep. Goes in the Garden of Gethsemane, pray, he falls asleep. Yep, but he's a gifted sleeper, but we all have our different gifts. All right, so Simon Peter is having his quiet time, and God gives him a vision. You remember? And it was a very complicated vision, didn't make any sense at all, but there's a knock on the door while he's having this vision, and if you remember the story, turns out that there's a man up this coast in Caesarea, and he's a Roman. And this Roman professional soldier has become a seeker after God. Now, if a soul seeks, like this fellow Cornelius, then you know what happens, don't you? Seeking soul gets in touch with gracious God. And gracious God has promised. What's he promised? If they seek with all their heart, they'll find. Right? Okay. But how do they usually find? Through a willing worker. So what's God's job? God's job is, having made a note of the seeking soul and remembered his promise that they'll find, he now has to get a willing worker. And this is the most difficult part of the process. This is the most difficult part of the process. Now, what does he do? He motivates and he mobilizes this willing worker and he pushes them over. The interesting thing about it was this: Peter wasn't particularly willing. He wasn't particularly willing. And God says to him, go anyway. And he went. And you know what happened, don't you? Hello? Yeah, you know what happened. Of course you know what happened. Cornelius came to faith in Jesus. And his whole household came to faith in Jesus. And what happened? What God promised would happen. Soul seeks. Gracious God promises they'll find. How are they going to find? More often than not, through a willing worker. What does God have to do? Put willing worker alongside seeking soul, and gracious God is at work. Salvation belongs to our God. Do you want any more examples? Saul of Tarsus. Incidentally, these are in consecutive chapters in the Acts of the Apostles. It almost seems as if God's trying to get a point across. Remember, there's this character called Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus is doing his own thing, messing up, making life a misery for a lot of other people, except those he kills, and then they're doing fine. He goes off looking for some more people to persecute. As he goes off to persecute these other people, God arrests him. He arrests him by giving him a vision of Jesus. Don't be frightened of people having visions. It's happening all over the place. They're not a substitute for God's word. They are an introduction in many, many places where they have no knowledge of God's word at all. A vision. This vision blinds Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus is taken into Damascus. Straight street. You remember? God says, oh boy, he's a seeker if ever I saw one. Wow. Wow. Yeah, what I need is a willing worker. Now, this is going to be tough. I mean, there aren't too many willing workers around here now because all the Christians have split. They've heard Saul of Tarsus was coming, looking for them, and they're out of there. But there's one little guy who's been a little late getting away. So he says, Ananias, go over and have a word with Saul of Tarsus. Say, yes, Lord, you have a great sense of humor, but that's not funny, you see. And he goes. You remember what happens? Do you know what happened? Saul of Tarsus got converted. You knew Saul of Tarsus got converted, didn't you? Saul of Tarsus got converted. Why? Because he was seeking soul. What had the seeking soul been promised? If you seek with all your heart, you'll find. And who promised? A gracious God. And how do people who seek usually find? Through a willing worker. All right, here's the question. Is God gracious? Does God want all people to be saved? Yeah. Do you think there are any seeking souls in your town? Yeah. Are you one of those people who says, Lord, here am I. Send me. So that each day, you start out the day and you say, I wonder who I am, quote, accidentally going to bump into today. Or more likely, I wonder who the people are with whom I should be slowly, meticulously, carefully building a relationship. Very, very, quite frequently, we lead people to Christ cold turkey. We just bump into them. More often, and often more effectively, it is through the long, patient building of a relationship. We establish presence in that person's life. As we establish presence in that person's life, we establish credibility. And it is only when we've established presence and accordingly credibility that we have the right to communicate anything to them at all. And do you know why that's important? Because if you think rather carefully about the Christian gospel, the Christian gospel that you and I share with people who are not convinced Christians is pretty uncomplimentary. It's pretty uncomplimentary. What it says is, my dear friend, I think you're a very nice person. The trouble is you're hell-bound. Now, you'll not win many friends telling them that. It just happens to be true. It's decidedly uncomplimentary.
Encouraging words from Stuart Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. He's right back with more on how you can keep living boldly for Christ no matter your age. But before we dive back in, did you know with your smartphone you can hear Telling the Truth daily programs? Get the Telling the Truth app today. Listen to or watch Bible teaching, read and comment on blogs, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Find the Telling the Truth app in your app store or at tellingthetruth.org. And remember, you can give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app or via text when you send TTT to 313131. Text TTT to 313131. Now, here's more from Stuart.
Secondly, it is uncomplicated. It is uncomplicated. You can't save yourself. You can't save yourself. Only God can. It's uncomplicated, and it is uncomplimentary, and it is uncompromising. It's uncompromising because, contrary to modern thinking, all roads do not lead to the same place. They don't. Contrary to contemporary thinking, it does matter what you believe, because there is a right and a wrong, there's a good and an evil, there's a truth and an error. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You see, sometimes if we try to go cold turkey with the gospel, we're not going to get anywhere, because what we're actually saying is an insult. That is why we need to have credibility with them. And we'll only get credibility with them when they have got to know us. And they'll only, when they get to know us, then they start to like us and think we've got something to offer. Will we have an ear? And guess what? You've got plenty of time to do that. And you know something? Nursing homes are full of old people with nobody to visit them. And nothing to do but think. And many of them are believing in nothing more than superstition. And they're hoping against hope. And you know what you need to do? You need to do what our seniors have done back in our home church. They have now taken on responsibility for moving into every single nursing home in the area. And they're the chaplains there. But we had one huge residential area for seniors, and we couldn't get in. And then one day it dawned on us, of course we could get in. We could just get some of our seniors to get out of their houses and move in. And that's what they've done. And now in every section of that huge seniors area, our folks are there. And you know what they're doing? They're believing that God is in the salvation business. And believing that God is in the salvation business, they also believe that they are called to be agents of his working. You know the familiar statement, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know that. And you remember the solution of Jesus? It's a disarmingly simple solution at first. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will thrust out workers into his harvest. Now, that'll preach. I've got a whole series on this, but just I'll be quick. There's one key there that doesn't appear in the English. When it says, pray to the Lord of the harvest, what it literally means is, pray to the Lord who is harvesting. Pray to the Lord who is harvesting. You see, what that says to me is not that God is sitting up in his office with all his monitors and he's keeping an eye on all these seeking souls and he's keeping track of all these willing workers and he says, you go here and you go there and you go there and you do this. No. God isn't sitting up in his office supervising. God has got his jacket off and his sleeves rolled up and he's working in the harvest and he's saying, hey guys, come and join me. Come and join me. That's what he's saying to you. That's what he's saying to me. So, I am of the opinion that there's plenty for us to do. And I'm also of the opinion that I've said enough. I've said quite enough. I've probably said too much. But I haven't said all there is to say on this passage. So there's some other things for you to do. So here's your homework. Spend some more time in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and ask yourself a question. Is there anything here that we should be doing back in our church? Could we be putting together a seniors ministry that just doesn't organize trips for us, just doesn't take us to Branson, just doesn't give us opportunities to go to the theatre? Hey, if you want to go to Branson, the Lord be with you. If you want to go to the theatre, have a good time. If you want to go out for dinner, wonderful. But don't confuse that with ministry. That's just making you feel good. And I'm all in favour of you being made to feel good. I'm all in favour of you being encouraged. I'm all in favour of churches putting on programs so you're not lonely. I'm all in favour of that. But don't confuse it with ministry. I love the story. One story, then I'll finish. I heard an old African-American preacher in Detroit tell this story. He said when he was a little boy, he lived in the inner city. He'd never been out of the inner city of Detroit. But his grandfather had a small holding up in Michigan somewhere. And one week, during the summer holidays, he was sent up to his grandfather's. He got up to this small holding. He'd never seen the fields. He'd never heard the birds sing. He'd never seen the blue sky like this. He'd just lived in the inner city. It was all like a wonderland. So his grandfather got him out of bed at 6 o'clock the next morning. And he'd never seen 6 o'clock in the morning either. And he said, son, you see that little chicken coop over there? Take this bucket and go over there and just collect the eggs. So off he toddles and he collects the eggs and he brings them back. And then he said, now take this bucket of slop and take it over there to the sty and go and feed the pig. So he hauls this bucket of slop over and he feeds the pig. And then he gives him one thing after the other. And for an hour, just one thing after the other. And he hasn't had any breakfast. And in the end, his granddaddy and his grandma call him in and say, okay, son, come on, we'll have breakfast. So they give him a nice big breakfast. And then he says, Grandpa, if you don't mind, I think I'm just going to lie down for a little while. He said, I'm kind of tired, and I had a big meal. He said, Granddad, I've been working all morning. He said, work, son? Work? That wasn't work. Them was chores. Listen, them was chores. Now we go and work in the harvest. Then was chores. Now we go and work in the harvest. Folks, then was chores. A lot of the things we do. Now, let's go and work in the harvest. And there's lots to do, and only you can do it.
That's Stuart Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. And he's right back to answer some important questions about today's message. But before we hear from Stuart, here's a great resource of his you'll want to know about. Stuart and Jill Briscoe's book, Improving with Age, shows you how to live every day to the fullest for Christ, no matter what age you are. This inspiring resource is our way to thank you for your donation to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others experience fullness of life in Christ. So call now to get your copy of Improving with Age when you give. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Stuart Briscoe to dig a little deeper into a couple of thoughts about today's message. Stuart, can you tell us about a time in your life when you took the time, built a relationship with someone, and ultimately led them to Christ? That seems so much more effective than the whole hitting them over the head with a tract method.
God's been good to me and given me many, many opportunities of speaking to people, living with people, relating to people, and seeing them come to faith. I don't want to pick you up on a term in this question, but I don't really think in terms of me leading people to Christ. I see myself as an agent of God's working, who sometimes can point somebody to Christ. I may be a means of encouraging somebody, of teaching them something. But I recognize that nobody comes to the Father except the Father draws them. And so I look for opportunities to get alongside people, do whatever is necessary to encourage them to turn their eyes on Jesus in their varying circumstances. And then I stand back and I marvel at the way that God, by His Spirit, does His own work of grace in people's lives.
Stuart, what is the difference between a church program and real ministry?
What's the difference between a church program and a real ministry? I wouldn't necessarily differentiate between the two. Real ministry often takes place in a church program. Real ministry is when men and women operate in a set of circumstances in a community of people and seek to serve those people in whatever way they need to be served. Do they need a word of encouragement? Do they need a word of instruction? Do they need a word of correction? Do they need a word of support? And you get on with that situation. Does that happen in a church program? Yes, very, very often. That is precisely where real ministry takes place. But by the same token, we can get so bogged down with a church program that we lose sight of the fact that the whole point of this program is that we might be ministering to people. I suppose I could give examples here. Some people are very interested in doing one particular thing in a church situation, and they do that because they like doing that particular thing, and they build up the program, and because they love doing that thing and they get so involved in doing that thing, they get so excited about the thing that they forget that the purpose is to be ministering to people. That would be the difference. So in short, the difference is simply this, that we can engage in activities that lose sight of the fact we're there to serve people to the glory of God.
Thanks so much, Stuart. Right now, when you call and give to help Tell Me the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others experience life in Christ, we say thanks with an inspiring resource from Stuart and Jill Briscoe, their book, Improving with Age. Aging isn't something to fear, it's something to embrace. And this resource shows you how to rejoice in whatever season of life you're in and fill it with joy and purpose. Call to get your copy of Improving with Age when you give. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Join us tomorrow when Jill Briscoe starts her message called Heart Cry, about centering your life on the one thing that fills it with meaning. Experience life Tuesday on Telling the Truth.